Amen, amen. Merry Christmas to you guys. I'm excited. Maybe it's your first time here at Vertical. My name is Phil. I want to welcome you here. Maybe you've been coming for a while. If you have, it means you were here last week and I didn't scare you off by reading Job to start our Christmas series. Welcome back. Or maybe you're here and you're just super curious where we're going. And in case you're newer to Vertical, I love the Bible. Don't have any problem saying that. I believe Genesis to Revelation, it all works together. And one of the ways that God's kind of made my mind work is that I love trying to show how the Bible works together. I love showing its context, that this is not just random verses out there, but God has written his living word, his book, to work together. And so for our second week in the Christmas series, if you want to turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, it's in the Old Testament if you want to turn there. If not, we're going to put the verses on the screen. But also, if you'd like a Bible for free, we'd love to give you one. But we're also exploring, in case you're newer, this is the question, why does Christmas matter? Why does Christmas matter? Why are Christians excited about Christmas? Is it because they love Christmas trees and lights and presents? Is that what they're all about? And I want to tell you, the reason we're exploring this question is Christmas is incredibly important according to the Bible. But I don't know that all of us always know why that is. And so we're trying to explain why Christmas is so important. So about 600 years before the birth of Jesus, Jeremiah 31 is going on. And so let's go read this, 600 years before the birth of Jesus. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 says, "The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I love them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord." And so this is incredibly important context. You may not read Jeremiah 31 and start thinking about the birth of Jesus, but this is super important because right off the bat in verse 31, the Lord says the day is coming. This is language that is what we would call in the Christian language prophetic language. The prophetic language is the Lord is revealing what I am doing and what I'm going to do. The prophetic language is not surprising to the Lord. The Lord's already like, I already know what I'm doing. I already know what I'm going to do. But it's surprising news to all of us, right? Anytime the Lord speaks in the prophetic, it reveals things to us. We get a glimpse of what the Lord already knows. And so he says, the day is coming, and the day that's coming is I'm going to establish a new covenant. And as we go through this message, please forgive me, but I know most of us don't work in covenant language, okay? That's not how we operate nowadays. So I'm going to use the more literal translation that we can all understand. It's like a binding agreement, okay? Can y'all give me some grace? Amen. Okay. And somebody always prayed like, no. Okay, praise Jesus. Well, we're going to work through that, okay? But it's saying that the covenant, the binding agreement that the Lord had established with his people was broken over and over and over again. You may know it by the Ten Commandments. Most everyone's heard the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments was God wrote on these tablets, established this covenant, and a lot of the language in that Ten Commandments was, you may know some things like, you shall have no other gods before me, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not covet, you shall not steal, you shall not murder. Like, it's a very repetitive language in those laws, right? So that's the old binding agreement. And the Lord says, it keeps getting broken. No one has been able to fulfill this. So I'm going to bring a new binding agreement, is what he's saying. And this reveals so much about the character of God. Because if God had the character like humans, our response to a binding agreement that has been perpetually broken would be, I'm revoking the binding agreement because you cannot uphold your end of the bargain, and I have no other offer for you because you've proven you're completely untrustworthy. That's not what God does in this moment. God in this moment says, you guys as humanity have been completely unfaithful to the binding agreement, and I'm going to bring you a new binding agreement that's even better than the first one. That is something we should take note of. That automatically the character of God is not like our character. And that's good news alone. We could walk away and go, that's good news. I like good news. Pray Jesus. Let's go get some lunch. That's good news. But the Lord continues on. Because at this moment, he reveals, even in the brokenness of humanity, even though they've not upheld the covenant, I will not abandon humanity in its brokenness. That's what God is saying in this moment. Look at verse 33. But this new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone, from the least to the greatest, will already know me, says the Lord. Look at this. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. This is 600 years before the birth of Jesus. This is written to the prophet Jeremiah and Israel at this point in history. Things have gone awry since when God talked about leading the people out of Israel. The people have not upheld the end of the binding agreement. No one has been perfect. No one has done well. And in the old agreement, there's some things that are going on. And so in the old agreement, there was consequences to not upholding it. Like, I don't know if you know this. God established how to parent, and consequences are actually a good thing. I know that sometimes we think protecting our young people, our adults, from consequences is helping them. It's not, okay? There's good consequences, bad consequences. Consequences are indifferent. They just respond to our actions. And so they're a great teacher. And the Lord has set up the old agreement that when we can't uphold it, there's actually a way to pay for it. Because there's got to be a payment made for sin to cleanse us. Even in the old system that was set up, and it was with goats and calves, and can you just imagine back in the day, it's been a tough stretch, you've done some things you shouldn't do, and you're walking home, and you get to your front door, and there's kind of the fence there, and there's one of your goats comes over to the fence, and he kind of looks at you and like, how'd you do today? And the goat's like, no, you didn't. The goat's like, you have decimated my family with your actions lately, sir. You cannot be pleased with yourself. That's how life was in the old system, in the old covenant. Somebody had to pay for the consequences. Even in the old system, they understood a sinner cannot pay for their own sin. Even in the old system, they understood that. And so when Jeremiah writes these words, this prophetic language, the Lord says, there's coming a day. There's coming a day, there's going to be a new agreement where I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Everybody who understood the current system, their ears should have pricked up right there. What? You'll forgive all of our sins? You'll remember them no more? They all understood that agreement is incredible. That agreement is game-changing. When you look at this language, we talked about in the old system, all the language was, you shall not. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall have no other gods before me. It's a very you-based language, is it not? Did you understand what the Jeremiah 31 new agreement is laying out? Did you see you shall? Did you see that language in there? No, the language you saw in Jeremiah 31 is incredible new language. It's God six different times saying, I will. I will write it upon their hearts and their minds. I will be at work deep within them. I will forgive their wickedness. I will remember their sins no more. The language of the new binding agreement is completely different. You start to see this dichotomy that exists between the two systems, the two agreements, is vastly different. The old agreement was perfection and performance based. The new agreement that's being lined out is power and presence based. It's vastly different. And so God lays this out 600 years before the birth of Jesus, and he says, listen, the day is coming that I'm going to set up a new agreement. It's going to change the game and the relationship between humanity and myself. Why is Christmas so important? Is because Jeremiah 31, before the birth of Jesus, says, listen, there's coming a day where the agreement's going to change. And it's going to go from perfection and performance-based to God's power and presence-based. Your sins will all be forgiven, and they will be remembered no more. Before Jesus, there was a longing for this to come. Because think about before Jesus, the tension that existed between you and God. The system was perfection and performance based. So you're constantly living your life trying to be perfect and trying to perform. And listen, the people before Jesus are not different than you and I. They were having the same problems you and I would have had in that system of constantly having this tension of, I'd like to love God, I'd like to do the right thing, but I keep messing up and it leaves this tension between me and God constantly existing because I can't uphold the system. I can't uphold the agreement. It was this life of constant frustration, probably. And so when they hear about this new agreement being offered, they long for that day. They long for a new agreement. But look at this. In Matthew chapter 1, if you want to go there. 600 years goes by. Some people start to maybe forget about this offer. Start to forget about the new agreement, but some people don't. Some people are constantly longing. They're looking for the birth of Jesus. They're looking for this Messiah. They're looking for this person who's going to bring this new agreement. And if you're here, when Morris gave his message a couple weeks ago, he did a great job. He talked about there was these so-called like silent years before the birth of Jesus. It almost felt like God made this offer and then kind of forgot about it. Kind of went on the back burner. But that's not what at all God was doing, because he said 600 years before, and he said, listen, the day is coming. It's already coming. The day is coming. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. Look at this, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. They're quoting Isaiah in this one. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When you read these verses now about the birth of Jesus, not only are they quoting Isaiah here, but it should start to send off bells in your head that, oh my gosh, that's talking about Jeremiah 31 too. That it's saying Jesus, the Messiah, is born to save us from our sins. What does Jeremiah 31 tell us? That in the new agreement, there's going to be a forgiveness of all of our sins. What does Jeremiah 31 say? It says God is going to be at work deep within us. And he's going to write things on our heart. He's going to write things on our mind. They say the name picked out for Jesus, one of the names is Emmanuel. God is with us. It's this complete changing of the dynamic between humans and God. This new agreement, when the Jesus is born, the birth of Jesus, it sets into motion this day that was planned long ago. It's God going, listen, I keep my word. I know humans time and time and time and time again they've not been able to keep the agreement. There's been this tension, this gap, this sin, this brokenness in all of humanity. And God says, but this moment sets into motion a new plan. And if you understand, Jesus says something that's radical in Matthew 5, because there's this tension now out there when Jesus is born, this old agreement. But if you know the scriptures, there's this new agreement floating. What is happening? And Jesus says something powerful. He goes, I've not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. If you've been reading the Bible long enough, maybe you're doing our Bible reading plan. By the way, we're going to do a Bible reading plan next year. I encourage you to jump in if you want. I will get that information out in the email if you want to jump in with us. I've not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Maybe you've heard that language before, and you've always tried to think, what does that really mean? He's coming to not abolish the old law, but he's coming to fulfill it. Well, do you understand what he said in Jeremiah 31? He says, humans have not upheld the binding agreement. So when Jesus says, I've not come to abolish it, I've come to fulfill it, the language he's using there, he says, I'm coming to complete the agreement in a way humans never have. Jesus is saying, I am going to step in for humanity, fulfill the old agreement that humans have consistently failed, broken, and been frustrated by. And when I complete the first agreement, I can usher in the new one. Because what God's not doing is going, I'm just forgetting the old agreement. I'm just throwing it out. I'm just putting it away because you guys couldn't do it. No, God says, I'm going to keep my word and I'll fulfill the agreement in a way that you could not and usher in the new one that says, I will write things on your heart. I will be at work deep within you. I will forgive your sins and I will remember them no more. So not only does Jesus come and fulfill and complete the first agreement, he brings into motion the second one, but maybe your wheels are turning at this point because you go, well, in the old system, there had to be a sacrifice. In the old system, there had to be a payment. That old system, we had that awkward moment with the goat when I came home from work, right? There was sacrifice. There's consequences in the old agreement. So not only was the birth of Jesus this monumental move by the King of Heaven, it was also not just the birth, but the death of Jesus on the cross. It's because Jesus fulfills and completes the first agreement, lives perfectly, and then pays the penalty for all of humanity under the old agreement. And when you remember on the cross, he says, it is finished. The completion of the old agreement, it's done. The agreement of perfection and performance is done. And what's ushered in now is one of power and presence. That God has now said, I will write things on your heart. God says, I'll be at work deep within your soul. I'll forgive all of your sins and remember them no more. It's an incredible move by the King of Heaven, and it's why Christmas matters so much, is because Christmas is signifying the birth of Jesus where there is a new agreement that's been put in place. It's crazy. If you want to look at how this was accomplished, how is this operating? Well, you know, Phil, the birth of Jesus, and now that he can be at work deep in our soul, and he can forgive our sins and write things on our heart and our mind. You know, how is that all working? Because let's be real, I start talking about the old agreement, about power, perfection, tension with God. Let's just acknowledge a lot of us still feel like we're living under that old system. You grew up in church. Odds are you are like me and you wrestle with trying to fulfill the old agreement. One based out of rules and regulation and perfection. I start talking about all this language, and I don't think it goes over most people's heads because I start talking about the old agreement language that you have to be perfect or you're going to let God down, and there's this tension that exists. A lot of people start going, wait. That's how it feels right now. Let's get to that. Why Christmas matters. Hebrews 9, if you want to write it in your notes. Hebrews 9 is incredible. I would argue that Romans and Hebrews are probably the most theologically difficult books to read, okay? James, more my speed. But Hebrews, Romans have a lot of depth. You and I could spend the rest of our lives reading them, and we're probably still like, I'm still trying to figure all this out. But Hebrews 9, and Hebrews in general, talks a lot about what all this is and why this matters. Hebrews 9, verse 11 says, so Christ has now become the high priest over all good things that have come. He's entered the greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. Listen to this language. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Remember our sins no more language. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from being ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Holy Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. If you were here last week, this language will get to you. This is why he was the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under that first covenant. This language in Hebrews should start to tell you the mediator, it's now like the language is, again, we don't use language like that a lot anymore. It's like he's reconciling. He's bringing together God and humanity now in a way that didn't exist before because of the old agreement. The old agreement, remember, was perfection, performance-based, right? Incredible. I've got three people left at this point. Praise Jesus for the work that went into this. Okay, so for me and my three friends and over in Hiawassee, I'm sure y'all are still with me. So he's bringing together, he's mediating. He says, I will bring humanity and its brokenness and the ability to continually break these agreements. I will bring humanity and God together. Jesus is the one who can do that. Why? Because he completed the old agreement. He's the one who says that agreement's already completed. Listen, why are you frustrated spiritually so often? It's because you're trying to live in agreement that was already completed. It's not where the power is at. The power is not in an agreement that's already been completed. The power is in the new agreement that says God will be the one who works deep within your soul. God is the one who will write things on your heart. He will write things on your mind. He will be the one who forgives sins. If you are trying to live out of performance and perfection based, you will perpetually live spiritually frustrated because you're living in something Jesus already completed. Why is there still a tension in my life? Is because sometimes my good intentions have me living in an old agreement. Let's be real. If you grew up in the church, our good intentions is I need to be perfect. If I love God, I would never want to sin. If I love God, I want to show him that I love him. The problem with that good intention mentality is the enemy loves it and God goes, why are you living in something I already completed? Good intentions will have us living frustrated the rest of our lives spiritually, missing out on the fullness of the new agreement that Jesus brought to us. I know in our Western and American thinking of pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you go out and you accomplish your dreams. You do. It's more of an old agreement type language. We can relate to that. But the problem with our Western American thinking is it's not new agreement thinking. New agreement thinking is I need to make sure my heart is perpetually soft before the Lord so that he can write things daily on my heart. I need to perpetually make sure there's nothing in my mind that's hindering God from writing things on my mind today. I need to perpetually make sure my heart is humble before the Lord and I'm walking in his grace and mercy and forgiveness and the work that Jesus has already completed. Every day I live, it's not to be performance or perfection based. Every day I live is for God's power to work in and through me. If you are living perpetually frustrated and you feel like this Christianity thing is not working, what I would argue or present to you is it possible you're trying to call Christianity really living like a Jewish life that's already been completed? Because there's this stuff that builds up in the soul that's frustration and we need to be forgiven. It's not that Jesus ushered in a new system and said, now under the new system, you're going to be perfect. That's not what it is. The new agreement came because God looked at humanity and said, you will not be perfect. The new agreement said, I will remember your wickedness no more. Not, I will remember that all of you were good people with good intentions no more. That's not why the new agreement came. And so many of us can live frustrated spiritual lives because we're trying to live in that old agreement of perfection and performance rather than every day going, Lord, it's by your power. working in the depths of my soul. It's by your power you're writing things on my heart and mind. I'm going to operate today out of your forgiveness and grace that you bought me. Thank you. Do you slow down enough in life to let God do work in the depths of your soul? Or are you moving so fast in performance and perfection-based living that your soul's in so much of a rush that you don't allow God to come work deep within your soul? What if the enemy goes, okay, I can't slow you down, but I can completely misguide you? I think some people think Christianity really doesn't work, and I would go, real Christianity, where you humble yourself before the Lord and allow him to write upon your heart and mind and work deep within your soul, 100% is real. Trying to live in an old system that's already been completed will probably leave you feeling very frustrated. And I've been there. It's something I have to work on and remind myself, Philip, slow down. Slow down. You do not have to perform under this agreement. You have to remain humble. You have to slow down and live at the pace of the kingdom of heaven and not your own ways. Philip, you have to remember that as a sinner, you cannot pay for your own sin. You can never become good enough. It's why this language that exists in our American system, one of the biggest, quote, religions out there, is this idea of Christianity that you just go be a good person. That's not the language of the new agreement. Did y'all see that? That new agreement language is not go be a good person. It's not in there because we as sinners cannot pay for our own sin. We need a sacrifice to pay for our sin, and that was Jesus. Let me put it to you this way. You cannot be forgiven for a sin you refuse to call sin. You cannot be forgiven for a sin you refuse to call sin. It's not that forgiveness is not possible, because we see in the new agreement, it's very possible, right? We see in the new agreement that the Lord says, I will forgive your wickedness no more. That's the language. But what do we want to do in our society right now? We're seeing one of the big cultural moves of Christianity is there's so much grace that really sin's not sin. We've discovered such new truth. We've unearthed such new truth as modern people that actually sin's not sin. It's incredible news. I would say it is very incredible news because it's false news. The new agreement did not come to allow sin. The new agreement has entered in to be forgiven of all wickedness. You can't be forgiven of a sin you refuse to call sin. Not that forgiveness is impossible, it's just you're not willing to humble yourself and allow God to write on your heart. You're not willing to humble your mind. Your mind is so great, you've actually outthought God. The Bible would submit that's called arrogance. The Bible even goes so far to tell us that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so many of us are thinking, God must hate me because I'm not able to be perfect and I'm not able to perform out of perfection. God must be so angry and disappointed with me. Can I just tell you that's not the new agreement? Why Christmas matters so much is Jesus came to bring healing and restoration to the soul that could not find rest because of performance and perfection-based living. Christmas matters so much because God looked at a broken humanity who could not uphold that agreement and said, I love you enough that I won't abandon you to that. I won't abandon you to a system that's broken and you cannot fulfill. I love you so much that I'll send my son to fulfill that way of life and usher in the new agreement where God will work in our hearts and our minds, in the depths of our soul. I want to ask this Christmas season, has your soul, the depths of you, found peace and rest? Because if it hasn't, I want to tell you good news. The new agreement says that's available today. The new agreement looks at people and humanity and says there's peace and rest for your soul if you will slow down, stop trying to perform, stop trying to be perfect, and say, God, what I need as someone who doesn't have it all together and cannot be perfect, what I need, God, is you to come right things on my heart. Write things on my mind. God, I need to slow down and I need to allow you to work in the depths of my soul and clean the clutter out. Clean anything my flesh has tried to put in there. I need you to just continually work in the depths of my soul. And the new agreement says God wants to do that and he will. It's not a maybe. He will. But has your heart remained humble for him to do that? I've got a pastor friend that always says, as Christians, our skin is supposed to be thick, but our hearts are supposed to be soft. But many times, as Christians, we live like the world and we have very thin skin and very hard hearts. But if we want to see the new agreement work in our hearts and our minds, we need to have a very soft heart and thick skin. Say, God, I want you. I desire for you to work in the depths of my soul. And I'm not going to try to call sin not sin. I'm going to not be proud and try to keep sin away from you. God, I want to present my entire soul to you and say, come and work deep within it. Clean out anything that's hindering me. Come clean out anything that's not of you. Come write things upon my heart and my mind. Continually refine and change me, Lord. And God delights in that. God's not waiting on the throne anymore going, I hope you can obtain perfection today. If not, you're dead to me. That's not the posture of the kingdom of heaven. And if we try to live like that, we'll spend the rest of our lives frustrated. Because God goes, I have so much for you, but you won't submit to the new agreement. You try to live under the one that's already been completed. And so as we close out, I just want to ask, Lord, you please help us to slow down. Will you help us remember why Christmas matters? Because 600 years before your birth, Jesus, Father, you said there's coming a day, which means for us right now, the day has come, is that language now. The day has come where, Lord, you say, I'll write things upon your heart. It's not, I'll write things upon Pastor Phil's heart or the church leader's hearts, but God won't write upon my heart because of my sin. God says, if you'll humble yourself, if you'll give your life to Jesus, he'll operate a new agreement in your life. If you'll humble yourself before the Lord, submit your way to his ways, God says, I'll write upon your heart. I'll write upon your mind. I'll work in the deepest depths of your soul. I'll begin removing things out that are hindering you. I'll be refining you. I'll remember your sins no more. And maybe you're here and you need to confess that to the Lord. You go, God, I need you to help me operate in your new agreement because it's very hard for me because it says you don't remember my sins anymore, but I remember my sins every day. I remember them. And because of that, I'm so tempted to perform. I'm so tempted to try to become perfect, to prove to you that I love you, rather than operating in the new agreement that you'll forgive all of our sins, you'll remember them no more. And as long as we humble ourselves before you, you'll write upon our hearts daily. You'll write upon our minds daily. You'll work deep within our soul daily. So as we close out, I pray, Lord, that you help us not only acknowledge just with our head what is true, but you acknowledge us with our depths of our soul, saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you. Please forgive me of my sins. Remember them no more. Help me to operate out of that new agreement. Help me to slow down and move at the pace of the kingdom of heaven. and not one of perfection and performance. Help me to experience the new agreement, one of presence of God and the power of God. Help me to trust in you and not my own ways. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen and amen. As we close out, the altar's open. If you want to come pray, you can pray at your seat. You can stand and worship, but let's meditate on the word of God as we close out.